So who remembers when we spoke 2 weeks ago what we talked about? Okay. Well, that was a large part of it, and I'm glad that you remembered that part of it. We talked about prayer, and we said normally when someone says to us, what's prayer? We say, well, talking to God. Okay. Well, remember we said, yes, it's talking to God, but it's also listening to God, and it's building a relationship with God. So today, what we want to look at, so we're talking to Him, He's talking to us, we're building a relationship, but the question is, and maybe you've never asked this question, does He hear us? And I was trying to think of a good example to use today, and the national situation just made a great example for us. Right? Is He hearing? So, King David, of course, as you know, is the one who wrote most of the Psalms, not all the Psalms. Depending on how desperate his situation was, depending on how urgent of a situation he was in, he kept changing his mind about that question. But I want us to try to settle it today. In Psalm 4, he says, the Lord hears when I call to Him. But in Psalm 5, he says, Lord, give ear to my words. Consider my sign. Listen to the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. In Psalm 28, he says, to Thee, O Lord, I call. My rock, do not be deaf to me. If You are silent, I might as well give up. Listen to my prayer. Just a few more verses, and here's what he's decided. Blessed be the Lord, for He has heard my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him. I am helped. So which is it? Does God hear us? Or doesn't He when we pray? So Job was another situation that he didn't think God heard his prayers. He didn't think God was listening. And God shows up in the scene. And He makes it very clear that He had heard the entire conversation that Job and his friends had said. So then the Lord says to Job, do you want to continue to argue with Me, the Almighty? See, God had heard the whole conversation. Job replied, well, God, You can do anything. In fact, You said to me, listen, and I have some things to tell You. God, I had only heard about You before, but now I have seen You. And his conclusion, Job's conclusion, I take back everything I said. Have you ever had those kind of conversations with God? That you argue with God and you tell God He's not listening and God goes, yeah, I am. And then you go, okay, I just take back everything I said. So God hears us when we pray. He knows our pain. He knows our anxious thoughts. And He even knows what we need. Is that true? In Luke 1, the angel of the Lord says to Zacharias. Now, I'm not sure if you remember who Zacharias was. But the angel of the Lord came to him and said, your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John. That was John the Baptist's father. God hears our prayer, and He knows what you and I need. Okay, Luke 12:22. Turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear, for life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than birds." I love this next question, and I have to remind myself of this one. Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? I have to wonder if they don't subtract from your life. And if worry can't accomplish any little thing, then why are you worrying? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothes. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as those. If God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he certainly cares for you. Why do you have so little faith? Don't be concerned. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. This is the verse. But your Father already knows your need. Already, even before you ask. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything that you need. So your Father knows the things that you need. Jesus said that he was the good shepherd, and he said that we as his sheep would hear his voice. So I got thinking about that today. Well, if he's the good shepherd and we are the sheep, and we hear when the shepherd talks to us, which is what the class is going to help you with, does the shepherd hear the sheep? See, that's our question for this morning. So if you're a shepherd and you're responsible for the sheep, and the sheep have a need, are you going to be listening to what they have to say? The Lord is my shepherd, I... Nancy's the only one that knows. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, he makes me, he leads me beside, okay. So, does the shepherd know the needs of the sheep? And does he take care of the needs of the sheep? It doesn't say that he leaves them on their own to find green pastures, places for food. It doesn't say he says, good luck. Try to find some water that's good for you and is clean. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The Lord is my shepherd. So God hears our prayers and he knows what we need. I was trying to think along with you, what is it that makes us conclude we're not sure if God listens to us? Well, it's because sometimes we pray about something and we want it to change that day. I mean, I prayed about stuff that I wanted to change that day. And then a week goes by and it's like, okay, well, I can put up with this for a week. Then I start getting really frustrated. Okay, now 2 weeks. And now it's a month. And you think, God, I'm not sure you're listening. Maybe you have things you've been praying about for years. And so then your conclusion is, I'm not sure he's listening. Right? Are we just being honest here this morning? So I was thinking about Joseph. So here we have this guy who feels that God gave him dreams. They were decent dreams, right? I mean, they were about how he was going to affect those around him, how he was going to be seen by those around him. It was a really great destiny that he felt God gave him those dreams. Now, he didn't really handle them the best way, but he was a kid. And I don't want to go off on a sermon about parenting skills, but his dad really could have used some help with his parenting skills. So he didn't help either. And that made his brother so jealous that his own brother sold him into slavery. So can you just imagine, you're now, you know, however you want to picture this from the movies or the television shows, you know, you're chained to these people in front of you and you're being drugged to another country. And there's slaves in front of you and slaves behind you and you're just in the mix. Let's be real. You'd be saying, well, first of all, God, those dreams couldn't have been from you. Second of all, why'd you give me the family you gave me? My brothers hate me. And what are you going to do about this situation? Right? Now, I know it says Paul and Silas were singing in jail. I can at least tell you the first night I would not be singing in jail. Maybe I'd eventually get myself there. But I don't think Joseph was, yay, praise the Lord, you're almighty, I'm so excited, I'm being drugged into slavery. Okay, just being real. So then he gets there, and he apparently was able to exhibit that he could manage things, or he understood numbers, whatever it was that caught Potiphar's eye, and he takes him to be his servant. And he does such a great job managing the little bit that he was given that he ended up being over almost this guy's entire business situation. So then I paused and thought about that. If I was in a foreign country and I was a slave, would I be that good of a witness? Or would I be murmuring and complaining and trying to find a way of escape and all of that? But he diligently served his master in such a way that he never did anything unethical. And even as a young man was tempted over and over again, could have gotten away with it probably, but ended up falsely accused. So when life throws us situations like that, it was no fault of his. Don't we ask that same question? God, where are you? How'd you let this happen? I was doing the right thing. I was serving correctly. Now, I'm in jail. Oh, yay. Right? So he's in prison. And again, I like to put myself in these stories because sometimes this is all in one chapter. So in 2 minutes, you could have read the whole story. But I pause and I think about it. Okay, so now I'm in jail. Never have been. Never want to be. Hope I don't ever end up there. I just think I would be miserable. Not a happy camper whatsoever. I would say if 2 or 3 days went by and my situation didn't change, I would be even more miserable. May as well be honest with you. Okay, God, I've given you 2 days to get me out of here. To have them realize I was falsely accused. To have Potiphar talk to his wife and say, hey, this isn't the first time you did this. And a lot of theologians think he did know that Joseph was not guilty, but to save face, he had to do this. So then a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, a month goes by. We don't know exactly how long he was in prison, but we know it was long enough for all his brothers to age, his father to have another son, and that son to start to grow up. So it wasn't just 6 months. And then the baker and the king's taster show up. And it's so interesting to me. Listen about this. So at this point, I think I would have said, okay, God, well, this is the miserable life you gave me. I'm just stuck with it. He served in prison. He watched over the other guards. Then when they came and said they had dreams, what does he do? He says, God will give you the interpretation of those dreams. He ministered to them prophetically and was believing that he was still hearing from God and God was still hearing from him. Come on, that's pretty amazing. Years rotting in jail, and he still had that kind of relationship with God. So these two guys, they tell their dreams. Remember the story? Joseph interprets the dreams, and they're both accurate. And he says, now when you go back to Pharaoh, please remember me. And I'm sure he prayed, okay, God, thank you. This is my opportunity. And they get released, and they go back to Pharaoh, and he starts counting the hours. Okay, it's been 24 hours, and those two boys have been back there with Pharaoh, and here I am. Now it's 24 days, and they've been back there. And it's believed it was a couple years, at least a year or two. A year or two. Come on. I get impatient, as I said, when it doesn't happen the day I want it to happen. The day. Probably two years or more. And now who has a dream? Remember the story? Who has the dream? Pharaoh does. Did God forget Joseph? He didn't. Did he still hear his prayers? Did he still have a plan for his life? Just think about what would have happened if he would have gotten released from prison 5 years earlier than this and went back home. See, I would have concluded long ago, God, whatever plan you have for me, it ain't gonna happen now. And then when those two went back up with Pharaoh and I'm still there, okay, God, that was your last chance. That was it. Didn't happen. But how timely that he was there in Egypt, available to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And look what happened in a day. God can turn things around in a day. So now the king's taster, okay, the cupbearer, that means you taste the poison and it kills you before it kills the king. Who wants to volunteer for that job? So now he says, oh, 2 years later, oh, now, there was a Hebrew youth that was with us there in prison, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard. And we related our dreams to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. And to each one, he interpreted his own dream. And just as he interpreted it, so it happened. You restored me to my office, and you hung him. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. They hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. God can change things in a moment, in an instant. One moment you're in prison with no idea that you're ever going to get out, and the next you're standing beside Pharaoh. He had him shaved and changed his clothes, and he came to Pharaoh. You go from sweeping up the prison to talking to the ruler of the nation. Come on. Was that a change or was that a change? Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one could interpret it. And I heard it said that you can interpret dreams. Joseph could have said, yep, I'm the guy. But instead he says, no, I don't interpret your dream, but God will tell us the interpretation of your dream. So he does that. And he interprets Pharaoh's dream. And then very interesting thing happens. This is a prisoner that was an accused slave. He's in your country. He's not of your country. And Pharaoh turns and says, what do you think I should do? What? And the amazing thing is, this young man who could have been bitter, could have been resentful, could have turned his back on God, could have given up on ever believing that God has a plan for his life, gave Pharaoh wise advice. And he says to Pharaoh, now find somebody who's able to carry out this kind of a plan. Verse 33 of Genesis 41. Now let Pharaoh look for a man who's discerning and wise, and set him over all the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers. And he goes on and he gives him all of this advice. The proposal, verse 37, seemed good to Pharaoh and to all of his servants. And then Pharaoh said to his servants, they don't mean slaves here, they mean the people that help him rule the country. He said to them, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? In other words, the Spirit of God obviously rests on this man. He interpreted the dream and he gave us wise advice. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, the night before he was in prison. Think about that. And Pharaoh says to Joseph, since God has informed you of all of this, there is no one as wise and discerning. Come on, we represent Christ in every situation, and when we don't have the wisdom to know what to do, He can give us the wisdom to know what to do. You shall be over my house. According to your command, all my people will do homage to you, and only as the supreme ruler will I be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold necklace around his neck. God has plans for you. He has plans for me. He has plans for this church. He has plans for this nation. And His plans have not changed. He hasn't forgotten His plan. They're just not always on my timetable. Maybe not always on your timetable. But let's not allow that to cause us to conclude that He doesn't hear us or know what we need. I had no idea what was going to be going on when I prepared this message this morning. I was like, oh God. So what I want us to do, just like the last time when we talked about prayer, I don't want to just talk about it and have you go home and say, well, that was interesting. I want us to have a practicum. A practicum means you take time to apply what you learn. So you should have some paper. You have your bulletin. Your bulletin has some space on it. And hopefully you have a pen or a pencil. Are there people who do not have a pen or a pencil? Okay, Pastor Kurt, would you mind grabbing some pens out of the closet back in the office? And we don't get pens back anymore. You just pocket your pens. We buy boxes of cheap pens and we can just hand them out. Yay! Okay, so I'm going to give you a minute to get that and for Pastor Kurt to come back with some pens. But I think it's really important, especially where we are right now this morning, this week, that we remember who we are, that we remember whose we are, and that we continue to recall what we're grateful for. So when I came in here this morning for early morning prayer, I said, what am I grateful for? And you heard some of that earlier. I'm grateful He still has a plan. I'm grateful He still has a purpose. I'm grateful that Jesus is still the King of Kings. Amen? How about you? Okay, so here's our practical exercise. Back door opens, God walks in. Now, He's already here, but this helps us picture it. God walks in, and He comes and sits down beside you. There's not a chair beside you. He can certainly make a chair beside you. So God comes in. He sits down beside you. First thing I want you to do, write down 5 things that you are thankful for. 5 things that you are thankful for. Okay, in 1 John, it says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. How many of you is that? You believe in the name of the Son of God. Well, some of you didn't raise your hands. I think I need to talk with you afterwards. Oh, okay, okay. In order that you may know that you have eternal life. And we are confident of this. Okay, John wants us to know some things. He wants us to know that we have eternal life. Not think we do, not maybe, but then he says, and we are confident of this, that he hears us when we ask anything according to his will. And since we know that he hears us when we ask, we know that he will grant our request. So now 5 requests. 5 requests you have of God. 5 things you were grateful for and 5 requests. God is an ever-present help in time of need. Ever-present help in time of need. And He never leaves us or forsakes us. So that means He's right there with you today. He's right beside you. He hears your requests. So we just want to take some time now. Ryan's going to put on some instrumental music. And I want you to start by saying, God, here are the 5 things I'm thankful for. You came up with more than 5, or you think of more than 5. Tell Him all the things you're thankful for. And then say, God, here are my 5 requests for today. Okay? Just between you and God. And the person sitting next to you if they want you to know.